thought about wearing my robe, but Ruthie wasn't coming, so... Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the Gospel of John. Listen for God's holy word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors of the house were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains forever. And let all God's people say. When I was a kid, my church had a program that was based on the Boy Scouts, and it was called Cadets. We did everything that Boy Scouts do. We went on camping trips, we did projects to earn merit badges, and we made Pinewood Derby race cars, which was my favorite thing. The difference was that this program was run by our church, so it could be an overtly Christian experience. The Christian stuff happened at every turn during our weekly Wednesday night meetings. During the opening ceremony, the head counselor said an opening prayer. Next, we had devotions in our individual small groups. And finally, during the closing ceremony, we would turn off the lights and we would sit around this fake electric campfire that one of the counselors had made. And in the dark, we would sing the first verse of Living for Jesus. Besides the opening prayer, the weekly devotions, and the closing song, I was also basically forced to give my life to Jesus while at Cadets. And not just once, I gave my life over to Jesus every year for the 5 years that I was in Cadets. My counselors, who took time and energy out of their week to teach me how to use tools like leather punches and bandsaws and palm sanders, they also wanted to make sure that I and my fellow cadets, that we had secured our salvation. So every year, one of our devotions was set aside to the experience of praying the sinner's prayer. Do you know the sinner's prayer? Do we have any experience with the sinner's prayer? I looked up the sinner's prayer, and there aren't just one version. There are several versions of the sinner's prayer, but they all share two basic elements in common. First, the prayer asks God to forgive their sins, and then you invite Jesus to come into your life. Sitting in the church basement that first year, I obediently repeated after my cadet counselor as he led me and my fellow cadets through this prayer. Personally, I wasn't too worried about my salvation. We prayed a lot at my house. We went to church every week. So I figured God and I were doing okay. But But the prayer included a line that invited Jesus to come and live in my heart, and it assumed that Jesus was not already living in my heart. Actually saying those words out loud gave me a bit of a shock, and it made me wonder, in a bit of a panic, if my heart had been empty the whole time before I had actually said that invitation out loud. Hadn't Jesus always been in my heart? Was he really waiting for me to ask him? Well, after a few seconds of shock, and the shock and the panic faded, and I shrugged and thought, oh well, now at least I know that Jesus is in my heart. I left Cadets that night feeling pretty good. I felt pretty confident that God had forgiven my sins and that Jesus was now definitely living in my heart. But apparently, my cadet counselors weren't so confident, because the next year and every year after that, they kept making me pray that same sinner's prayer. As far as I could tell, praying the sinner's prayer was not an option for me or anyone else at Cadets. There was no getting around it. I didn't feel like I was allowed to say, "I'm going to sit this one out, Mr. DeYoung. I prayed this same prayer last year." I didn't feel like there was any chance to say, "Hey, Mr. Ensing, I'm okay. Jesus took up residence in this heart last year, and I'm pretty sure he hasn't left." And I never imagined saying, "Don't worry, Mr. Turing. God already forgave my sins. I asked him to forgive them last year, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that." By my last year of cadets, praying the sinner's prayer was just part of the routine for me. I liked going camping, and I loved making Pinewood Derby cars. So when it came time to pray it again, I just rolled my eyes, bowed my head, and obediently repeated the sinner's prayer along with everyone else. I didn't think too much of it. It was just another one of those Christian things we did at cadets. Now, thinking about it and looking back at my life, I'm glad for the experience of praying the sinner's prayer. I'm glad that those gruff but kind counselors forced me and led me through that ceremonial prayer year after year for those 5 years. At the time, I shrugged it off as a formality. At the time, I couldn't wait to be done praying it so that I could get back to my work on my merit badge projects. But now I see that carefully praying that prayer for those 5 years, it put the idea of forgiveness and the reality of Jesus' closeness, it put those ideas squarely in my head and deep within my heart. I'm glad that I grew up knowing that forgiveness was a possibility for me. Because as I went through life, as I went through 7th and 8th grade, as I made the transition to the battlefield that is high school, as I made the terrifying transition into college, I knew that God was always there, ready to forgive my mistakes and my missteps, ready to give me a fresh start, and another fresh start, and another fresh start, and another fresh start. As I experienced things like dating, as I had drag-out fights with friends and family members, as I went through all of the ups and downs of growing up, as I figured out who I was and what I was supposed to do with my life, through it all, I carried with me the message that was hidden in that prayer. I carried with me the childish belief that Jesus was there. He was with me. He was living in my heart, and he had forgiven my sins. In the moment on those Wednesday nights at Cadets, saying those words seemed dumb. I had already said them 3 or 4 times before. Why would it matter if I said them one more time? Oh well, I thought, here we go again. Dear God, please forgive my sins. Dear Jesus, I invite you to please come into my heart. Our scripture passage for this morning is famous for Thomas's struggles with doubt. But as I studied this passage this week, the element that stood out to me was Jesus' words about the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is possible. And so Jesus sends his disciples out on a mission to spread the good news about forgiveness. In the passage, Jesus appears to his disciples the evening after he rose on Easter morning, the same evening. He had risen from the grave, and now he is appearing to his friends, locked up as they are in the fear of the same people who had arrested Jesus and handed him over to be killed. Jesus appears to them with a repeated word about peace, and it is here that John records Jesus' parting commission to his disciples. Jesus breathes on them, and he tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. And then he sends them. He sends them out into the world as God had sent him into the world. And Jesus describes the work that the disciples are supposed to do for him and for his Father. The way that Jesus characterizes this work is through these words. He says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, this is quite a commission that Jesus is giving. He's telling the disciples that they are receiving the authority, the power, the mission, and the responsibility of helping people to receive the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus is saying, forgiveness is in your hands. Jesus is telling them that as they go into the world, sins will be forgiven as the disciples share the good news. Forgiveness is possible. Jesus had come into the world not to condemn the world or to judge the world, but in order to help people become free of their sin, their struggles, and their fears. His resurrection made that possible, and now Jesus has risen to new life, and it is clear that God is not a God of vengeance or condemnation, but a God of life and love and second chances. This is the message that Jesus gives his disciples. This is the message they are called to go and share. And this is the same message that my cadet counselors taught me in that imperfect way that they had. They continued the work that Jesus gave his first disciples, for they helped me to learn that forgiveness was possible. People of God, God is ready to forgive, and Jesus is ready to enter our hearts. God is not a God of vengeance or condemnation. Our God is a God of life and of love and a God of second chances. Our God is a God who has forgiven our sins and has sent his Holy Spirit to bring and to keep the presence of Christ close in all the times and the places and the spaces in which we live. There are a lot of things that stuck with me from my cadetting experience. I could teach you the safest way to hand an open pocket knife to a friend. I know the safest way to carry an axe while hiking in the woods, so to minimize the chances of hurting yourself when you trip and fall while holding it. I know how to prepare a campfire in the safest way to minimize the chances of starting a forest fire. I also know the first verse of the song Living for Jesus. Every night when I help put Margot to bed, I sing it to her 3 or 4 times to soothe her to sleep. Singing that song every Wednesday night for 5 years has welded those words and that melody into my brain. I also know that forgiveness is possible. I know that God is with me and that he has forgiven me. I know that it is a blessing to receive this assurance that forgiveness is possible. As God sent Jesus into the world, so God sends us. God sends us with a mission to be a blessing to this world, which God so loves. One way to understand this mission is through the message of forgiveness. We are those who have been forgiven. We are those who live in the peace of knowing that our sins, our faults, our mistakes, our failings, they are not the end of us. But God has forgiven us and given us new life with his Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. So let us take that message of forgiveness and let us do our best to find ways to share it with others. Thanks be to God. Amen.